Just like to turn to a verse in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 2. I'd like to connect this with the comments by Brother Mark about the perspective that we need to have. It says, Isaiah 51 verse 2, "Look unto Abraham your father," and the middle clause, "for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." In Genesis 11, what you'll notice is that his perspective is not really God at this point. God had called Abram, and he's not Abraham at this point, he's Abram, exalted father. And Abram had the same kinds of problems that we have. We think a lot of ourselves, we think a lot of our families, we think a lot of our ancestors, and very often those natural connections can hinder us. God called Abram alone. He didn't call Terah. He didn't call all these other individuals who are named here. And you'll notice in verse 31 that it is not Abram who is leading, but it says, "Terah took Abram, his son Lot, son's son, and they went forth." Very often, so the question is, this revelation of the God of glory, as great as God is, and we know that, awestruck of God, yet how is it possible that Abram didn't move immediately because of this revelation? The question that we should have for ourselves as we look at Abram is, what was it that hindered him after this revelation, this call, that he allowed the natural things to impede him from moving out in faith and obedience? Because he gave the reins to his father, and his father led them. But God says, "I called Abram alone." So the challenge for all of us always is, what is my individual response to God? When he calls me, when he challenges me, am I saying, "Mom, Dad, sister, brother, this brother or sister in the meeting"? Am I allowing them to lead me, even though I have had this interaction with the God of glory?
And his father, name was Terah, which means delay. And this is the danger. The danger is that what is going to delay me from laying hold upon God's call? The call came to lead, to go out. But family ties, as you said, is what affects the work. The walk of the believer is only, it says, "And Terah died." It's only after he died in Haran. Then you find indeed Abram. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Now he is responding to the call, because unless that which hinders us, we bring it under the cross and bring it in the place of death, we are going to be delayed for many years. We know the call. We know what God wants us to do. But why we are not doing it is because of influences like a terror in our lives.
I wondered if we could continue to reflect on this point. How God chooses, why he chooses. The entire universe is his, has always been. And he exercises his sovereign rights and manifests his sovereign claims in lives, in creation, as he chooses, as he sees fit. And we are part of his choosing. And we need to see ourselves in this somewhat. But I thought we could reflect a little on some expressions God used to show his reasoning, his ways of selection and choosing. And I know we could elaborate on Romans 19:11, but perhaps we can just turn to Deuteronomy 7 and just see a few expressions on the way. It's not precisely what we're dealing with, but the principle is there. And then we can carry that principle to Abraham and, very importantly, to ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And here is some expressions by God to his people Israel. And he says in verse 6, Deuteronomy 7, 6, "For thou art a holy people." And holiness in this context means that you are an exceptional people. They were not exceptional in themselves, because this is what God goes on to say. You are exceptional, holy, separated. And he says, you are a holy people unto the Lord thy God. You are exceptional to me. You are not like the rest. Why? The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special. So I want to emphasize that holiness means exceptional. It means set apart. It means special. You to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you are the fewest of all people. So we need not even think of what qualities Abraham had or didn't have in relation to any of his family or any of those in Ur or any of those in the rest of the world. When God, in his sovereign rights, desires to choose, to select, to use, to call, God is free to do that. And wonder of wonders, each of us here, God set his eyes upon us. According to Ephesians 1. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Same expression. Holy, exceptional. Holy before him in love. Let us appreciate God's desire for us and his design for us. It is a privilege, but what we're also taking up with the responsibility. As soon as God called Abraham, he should have responded. Privilege to be called, but a responsibility to respond to the call. Each of us, privileged to be called, but we have a responsibility to respond to the call.
1 Samuel 16. God tells Samuel to find a new king. And when he tells Samuel to look for David, Samuel looks, and God tells him how he chooses who he chooses. And in verse 6, it was so when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Samuel thought that this Eliab was God's anointed. But God said to Samuel, but the Lord says to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So like the brother was saying, we're being Savior chosen by God. And it's by God's love that you're chosen, but at the same time, he doesn't see what everyone else sees. He sees what's in your heart.
I think we could see as a result of Abraham not obeying right away, we have verse 30, Sarah was barren. I think what happens when we don't answer the call of God right away, we remove ourselves from blessing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at God's sovereign patience with Abraham. He didn't move on to the next one. He said, okay, Abraham, you're going to follow your father for a little while, but Sarah was barren. And when we remove ourselves from the possibility of being blessed, when we don't obey when we're called, when we don't follow God when opportunities arise, you know, we have a loving, long-suffering God who is patient with us. And he may not punish us, but what happens? We lose blessing. We lose every opportunity we have to be blessed. And that's a simple result of what Abraham did. Because if you look at Hebrews, nowhere in Hebrews does it say, well, Abraham waited. No, Hebrews says he was faithful and he obeyed. You don't get this pause. So that's how God chooses to look at it. He was faithful and obeyed, but Abraham did have to pay a price. He took himself for a number of years away from God's blessing. And that, I think, should be really a stunning call to us, that when God puts an opportunity in our path to be blessed, to serve Him, we have to take it. Because if we don't take it, or we delay it, or we go our own way, all we're doing is we're punishing ourselves. We're removing ourselves from the possibility of the Lord blessing us greatly.